All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful August 23rd, 2014. Hopefully you're on your way to the golf course or just pulling up your computer and enjoying a cup of joe and relaxing before you head to the golf course. Looking forward to today's show. We're going to be talking to the Metropolitan Golf Association's Kevin Klein. We'll talk about a number of things, including their play days and their public golf initiative. And we'll be breaking down how slope and ratings, how they do that for the golf courses. You plug it into your for your handicap and all that kind of stuff, and be kind of cool just to kind of break it down and see how they actually figure all that kind of all that stuff out. And so it's going to be a good show, be informative as always. Want to throw a shout out to his colleague Kate Keller, who's playing in the regionals today of her golf group. She plays on a scramble team, I think, for the Executive Golf Women's League. And so she's actually teeing off about a half hour, 8:30, I believe. So I want to wish her luck and congratulate the Metropolitan Golf Association on another well-run, well-received Met Open Championship that was won by Grant Sturgeon of Wingfoot. Nice to see Huntington Country Club, Tim Puetz, and Frank Benzel from the Century Country Club. They finished in tie for second. And young amateur Harrison Chi did well. He was a low amateur, I should say, in a tie for fourth at minus three. They played at Bedminster, Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster. So just a wonderful track. I've been fortunate enough to play it. Just a fantastic layout, fantastic shape. It's a beautiful course, and it was just another great event for them. Hope everybody's still. If you didn't see it, I hope you get to the computer soon, and you need to Google the shot that Phil Mickelson hit yesterday from the beer tent. I'm sure if you love golf and you watch golf, then you've seen it already. But if you haven't, it's fantastic. It hits it up on top of one of those corporate tent areas, and basically says, "Yeah, I'm gonna." You know, he joked. He was on the side, and he kind of joked about it. And then, I remember someone said, "It's right here up on the thing," and he was like, "Oh, good, so I can play it." And he started laughing, not thinking he was actually gonna play it. And then he went up there and he saw it and figured it was probably his best option anyway, from the way that green was situated. So. Phil being Phil, which is why we love him, and it was awesome to see him do it. Unfortunately, he made bogey where he needed probably to make. Well, he made the cut anyway, but it was just what Phil gets it. You know, if he needed any other reason why, as to people in the metropolitan golf area love Phil Mickelson, that was it in a nutshell. So it was just fun, and if you didn't see it, you should. Google it ASAP, at least after the show anyway. We don't want to leave you just yet. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Kevin Klein from the Metropolitan Golf Association. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Kevin Klein of the Metropolitan Golf Association. Kevin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Kevin, maybe just before we start, just tell us exactly what you do for the MGA.
Sure. Well, my current title at the MGA is Director of Member Services, Public Golf Development, Handicapping, and Course Rating. So a few different hats worn throughout the day, but certainly love all the different things I get to be involved with.
How long have you been working for the MGA?
I've been with the MGA full-time since 2005. I was a USGA Boatwright intern in both 2003 and 2004. For anybody that doesn't know, the USGA Boatwright program is a terrific intern program for people like myself who are interested in getting involved in golf administration. I really didn't even know what the MGA was, or I did not play competitive golf, so finding that internship program basically led to my full-time job and a career now for the past 10 years, so it's been great.
So you didn't really think, you know, you didn't play golf, but did you liked golf, and did when you took the boathouse...
Boatwright.
The Boatwright internship, was that something that... So you know, what was it that you decided that you were going to get into golf?
Right, well, I always was interested in golf, played golf, but never was good enough. Played other sports, in high school, but didn't get really into the competitive golf aspect. But enjoyed the golf, the behind the scenes, that kind of thing. Actually volunteered at the Northville Classic at the Meadowbrook when I was in high school, and really enjoyed that aspect of it, the behind the scenes. So kind of took it from there. Went to school on Long Island at Dowling College, sport management program, and needed the internship to graduate, and it kind of just blossomed from there, finding the MGA and finding the USGA Boatwright program. And again, has led me to this point with you on the phone this morning.
And for those listening, the Northville Classic was the old Champions Tour event that started on the Meadowbrook, the first one, I believe, won by Gary Player, if I'm not mistaken. Remember going there myself and getting my first glimpse of Arnold Palmer, wanted to make sure that I got a chance to see him before, just to say that I had done it in my lifetime. I wish I was able to shake his hand, but that was a wonderful event for Long Island.
Absolutely, and then from that, you know, that event, I worked a little bit with ESPN and got to go on the road with them on their Champions Tour that you mentioned. So got a taste of that, but wanted to be more on a home base. That traveling was tough, so went back to school, got that internship, and like I said, here I am.
Yeah, fantastic. I wanted to start with what I think is interesting, and you said you're in charge of the course ratings and slope and how that and all that kind of stuff. I don't think, you know, people plug that stuff into their handicaps all the time, whether they're doing. I mean, I know most of the time it's you can pull it right up on the computer, but sometimes you have to put it in manually with the. You know, by the course and the slope and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, how does that kind of, you know, how does that procedurally, how does that work?
Sure. Well, you know, with technology, it's a wonderful thing. And in this case, it helps a lot with the new MGA app. And hopefully everyone out there has the MGA app on their phone. Mm-hmm. Like you said, basically, it'll have your handicap there. And you can use the calculator on the phone to just quickly use your USGA handicap index and convert it to the course handicap for the specific set of tees you're playing. But like you said, it gets confusing. So if you were just to ask someone, what's your handicap, they might say a 20. But they might be a 20 from the blue tees at Eisenhower Park, but they could be a 22 or 23 from the back tees at Eisenhower. So it's the USGA handicap index, which is taken to a decimal point, and then you're taking that and converting it to the course handicap for specific sets of tees.
So if you're a nine handicap, you know, I'm a nine handicap and you're whatever handicap, and you want to say, oh, I'm going to play from the championship tees, I may not necessarily, and let's say you're a scratch golfer, you may not be giving me just nine strokes. It may be something different than that.
That's correct. It all is based on your USGA handicap index, and that's where the whole course rating program and system comes in with the course rating and the slope rating. All those things become important towards the player's index and ultimately their course handicap and matches on weekends and the guys that are listening to go to their weekly match. Those are the important things to keep in mind when you're out on the golf course.
Yeah, I do. And I hope that my buddy over at Pete's Golf, Woody Lashin, is listening, because we often play, and sometimes we don't play from the tees that I would normally play from. So, you know, normally it's just like, oh, you're this and I'm that, so you get this. So we may have to do a little recalculation, Woodrow. I hope you're listening.
And absolutely. With that, Anthony, if I might just mention that, sure. You know, Section 3-5 of the USGA handicap system covers that exact scenario where you have players competing against one another from different sets of tees. So if Woody's playing the back tee and you're playing the middle tee, he's playing a more difficult golf course,
right.
Higher course rating, longer length. So to that, you would take the difference in the course rating, and then Woody would get that difference. So if he's playing a 72.0 and you're playing a 70.0 course rating, there's a 2-point difference. So he would be adding 2 points to his course handicap from that back tee.
Got it. All right. So, and now, if we could, if you know, how does the slope? How do they come up with the slope and the course rating and all that kind of stuff? It seems like a pretty. Is it complicated? Is it something that you know, architects go in with in mind that before that, how hard they're going to make the golf course and how they're going to make it difficult? Do they have that course rating and slope in mind before they even get started?
Well, I think they do, and I think now that, you know, courses make renovations, they're keeping those things in mind. What we do at the MGA, we have a committee of volunteers that we train, that I oversee, and that will go out throughout the season and rate about 60 to 65 courses in the Met area. And they're basically just going from tee to green for each hole, from each set of tees, and looking at specific obstacle factors. And then ultimately coming through with the course rating and the slope rating. And the slope rating is the measurement that's going to indicate the relative playing difficulty of a course for a player who's not a scratch golfer.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? What are some of the things that get factored in into the difficulty?
Sure. So effective playing length is an important part of it. So roll. So if there's elevation, if you're hitting from an elevated tee or you're hitting uphill, those things come into play. Prevailing wind, some of the courses on the east end,
right.
Prevailing wind, so that comes into it. And then you have the obstacle factors, the topography, how your stance is or your lie is in the landing zone, the width of the fairway, wider the fairway, the easier it is to hit. Green target, again, the size of the greens, the bigger or smaller it is. The rough, the recoverability from that rough, bunkers, out of bounds, extreme rough, water hazards, trees, and then green surfaces all come into play on each hole for each set of tees. Those 10 obstacle factors are looked at. And it's all based on measurements and landing zones. So the system would say that the scratch golfer hits a tee shot 230 yards with 20 yards of roll for a 250-yard drive.
Right.
And the bogey golfer would hit his tee shot 180 yards with 20 yards of roll for a 200-yard drive. So then the guys are going out to those 2 points and basically going to the left and to the right, measuring to where those obstacle factors I just mentioned are. And the closer those hazards or obstacles are to the center of the landing zone, the higher the number value that is applied to that factor. And then again, with technology, all that information is computed on a form and then taken back to the office where it's entered into the course rating program, ultimately ending with the course rating and slope rating for particular sets of tees at golf courses.
Interesting. And so, case in point would be, like, you know, the poster child for this would be, let's say, Bethpage Black, right? I mean, it meets all the criteria. It's long, it's definitely has an interesting topography, thick rough, challenging bunkers, wind, you know, although the wind you know, can be windy, or that's the middle of the island. It's not like an East End course, like a Shinnecock or something like that, that's exposed to the elements. But it meets all the criteria that you're speaking of.
Absolutely. And Bethpage, like you said, is a difficult golf course. And with the length itself involved, it makes it difficult for that higher handicap golfer, which has the course and slope rating where they are. And the carries off the tee, because I mentioned the tee shot is only 180 yards. Some of those tee shots, and if you remember, I think Mark O'Meara back in the Open wasn't even able to reach the fairway.
I think it was on 10, correct?
I think that's right. So, you know, in regular weekly play, golfers have that same issue. So that slope rating is where the obstacles start to really gang up on that high handicap or bogey golfer.
Why do they have both the rating and the slope? What is the slope indicating?
Well, like I said, the slope is what we're using to convert to the course handicap.
Right. Oh, okay, right. I gotcha. Okay. All right. So then we have the two. We have the slope and the rating. And so the rating is broken down basically by how difficult the golf course is. And, wind is probably a thing that people don't really think is factored into the rating.
That's correct. And, it's like I mentioned earlier, the East End is primarily where we're going to be using a wind value.
Right.
In Western Nassau County, not so much. And in New Jersey, South Shore, and Jersey Shore, maybe a little bit. But in Westchester, Connecticut, around here, we're not really going to be using a wind factor.
Right,
Doing the ratings.
All right. Kevin, we're talking with Kevin Klein of the MGA, the Metropolitan Golf Association. We're going to go to our first break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorcia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorcia. We're talking with the Metropolitan Golf Association's Kevin Klein. Kevin, you have a couple of things that I also wanted to talk about in addition to the rating and slope that I think that, I'm not sure people really think about when they're playing the golf course and what actually the ratings and slope consist of. So I'm glad we were able to get to the bottom of that. But you also have a couple of things in the Public Golf Initiative and the Play Days. Tell me about the Public Golf Initiative.
Sure. And if I just may, with the course rating and handicapping, we're always at the office. So if anyone ever has questions, please give us a call. And we have handicap seminars throughout the spring on Long Island, in Westchester, and in New Jersey. So you can find that information on our website.
Sure, and that's mgagolf.org.
Correct. And also, to get into the public golf, part of that is that there are so many golfers out there that maybe we haven't touched yet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might think we're closely related to the private clubs, but that is true. But we're also providing services to public golfers and public facilities, and we just felt we wanted to do more. So with our website, we created a section on our website this past year where golfers can go and find great deals at different facilities throughout the metropolitan area.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing, because I think that people tend to sort of just associate that, you run all these great championships, and therefore let's face it, for the most part, the more I like to think of them as more the professional amateur, right? The elite golfer, maybe not a pro level, but it's not your weekend Joe who's out there nine handicapper in these things. So I think it's important that there is a segment of this of your organization that does tend to the regular golfer like myself.
Absolutely, and myself as well. And
yeah,
That's where those play days come in too, because you mentioned, we just talked about the handicap index, and our championship events, as great as they are, is for a select group of golfers with USGA handicap indexes of 4.0 or better for most of them. So mm-hmm. That leaves out a large group of our golf participation, you know. So we have these play days, which are one-day events that are open to everybody. And we have single-digit handicaps up to high 20 handicaps. And mm-hmm. it's just a fun day to include everyone else out there.
Yeah, I like it. And one of the things that I think that people, you know, it's unfortunate, especially up in this area, we don't have access. It's the one thing that when you think about golf in Europe, it's the one thing that they get and is great is that people can enjoy these great golf courses in Europe. You can play open road or golf courses, you know, that type of thing. People have access to them. And it's the one thing that we don't have here in the United States is that people can't just go and play a Shinnecock. And I understand it's a private facility and they pay for that, and that's great. But I think, you know, the lack of access doesn't encourage the growth of golf, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And you give a little bit with these play days access. There's a few, you know, there's some public courses, but there's private as well, like Colonial Springs here on Long Island is a private club that you would have the chance to play. Long Island National Golf Club, which you have coming up in October, that's now a private club, and you'll have access to it. And so, you know, it may not be the Shinnecocks or the National Golf Links of America, but it is access to private golf and some really nice golfing conditions. And I think that's important for the growth of the game.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, why the play days were created, to open up the game to more of the golfers in the metropolitan area and to provide that access to those public courses, or private clubs rather, that you wouldn't normally be able to get on. So through our great relationship with our clubs, we're able to provide that to the golfers and MGA members.
You know, being the old joke is that if you're in the golf industry, you don't get to play a lot of golf. Do you get a chance to play a little bit, or?
I think that holds true, to be honest with you, Anthony. Yeah, I do get to play, and it is enjoyable, and it's a great group of people we work with. So we have our own golf club in the office, Club Without Real Estate. So we do have a club championship and get out there time to time. I'll be over at Middle Bay or the golfing club at Middle Bay tomorrow with some buddies. But, yeah, honestly, I think, you know, work comes first, and we, you know, have the opportunity to be out at some nice courses and facilities, but teeing it up does not happen too much.
Yeah, no, I understand. Listen, when you're out there doing the good work of trying to grow the game and trying the Metropolitan Golf Association, and you know you're working with them and doing what you can for them, it's you know, it is work, and you have to take care of business. What do you see in terms of what the Metropolitan Golf Association, do you see anything coming down the road? Is this something you're going to develop more, like the Public Golf Initiative? Is that you see more in the future of the game?
Well, I think definitely, and I think because of the new role that I have with the MGA, it shows that we are making an effort, and we're going to continue with that effort through the next, through the years to grow the game of golf, to provide that access. As far as the access with the benefits on our website through our partner with Citi, mm-hmm. Providing that type of information to the golfers, with a public golf seminar mm-hmm. for facility operators, managers, superintendents, just to kind of help them out with industry topics so that they can work on improving their facilities. And then the pace of play issue, those types of things, in cooperation with other state and regional golf associations and the USGA, using their research to apply that to the courses in the Met area, just to make it more enjoyable for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And the discounts that you were talking about, just for the people listening, it's mgagolf.org/city, C-I-T-I, as in city card. And basically you can get discounts and incentives, and then they have on one side, and then they also have MGA access days where you could have, again, access to different events that you may not have been able to or even known about. So that's kind of cool. And like, again, it's all about the access for growing the game. And I think the MGA does a great job of doing that. I got to take one more break, our last break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit PetesGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. We're talking with the Metropolitan Golf Association's Kevin Klein. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me this morning, but also getting down to the bottom of the the ratings and the slope and letting us know about the Public Golf Initiative and the play days and stuff like that. Have you had a golfing goal this year at all, or is that something that just not possible with work?
No, yeah, absolutely. I definitely set some goals throughout the season. Probably don't get to the range as much as I want or should. but yeah, I think the goal for this year was just to try and get to a few courses that I hadn't gotten to in the past, which I've achieved, and then just getting that score down or that handicap down to a more reasonable number, I guess.
You have a particular favorite course on the island that you like to play?
Well, I live on the South Shore, so definitely Lido and the Golfing Club at Middle Bay are very close for me, and I like those. But growing up in Hempstead, I was always going over to Eisenhower, so definitely have a nice spot for that place as well.
Yep, and you have a little historic golf track in Lido in your backyard. Obviously, the inspiration for the Lido, that Lido contest that you see that Golf World hosts all for architects, and so a little history there. How's that track doing?
It's actually doing really well. You know, since Hurricane Sandy in 2012, a lot of the places down here were hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
And Lido and Middle Bay were two of those courses. But Lido came back real nice. I coordinated a golf outing in July, and I had not seen the course look nicer than it had in years. So it's doing really well, and looking forward to getting back over there too.
Yeah, that's a fun it's just a fun track and a classic well, there are some holes there that still have that classic design, C.B. McDonald. And so, talk about the ratings and slope, talk about the wind factor, boy. That's a big factor on that course.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Talking about the wind, you know, that course on a different day, or it depends on the day with the wind. It's a completely different golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's never like a light wind. It's always like, you know, open championship conditions, that seems like.
That's right.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the program this morning. It was wonderful to have you, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, Anthony, I appreciate it as well. Have a great day. To everybody out there, hit them straight, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Yep, and we'll have to, before the summer's end, we'll have to set up a game before the fall starts.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right, take care, Kev.
You too.
All right, that was Kevin Klein from the Metropolitan Golf Association. Again, the website is mga.org, and you'll find all the stuff that we were talking about, the play days and the discounts, and it's a good website. And I love what they're doing in trying to make golf more, or taking on the Public Golf Initiative and gaining more access for people who aren't part of private facilities, who make up the majority of the public golf. So, just fun to have them on. All right, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us this week, and really appreciate your support out there. And we'll talk to you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
city band scooter searching for his groove.
This is your one-stop gospel celebration. Thank you for tuning in to God.